Welcome to Catch the Fire Auckland. We hope this message is a blessing to you. You can find us at ctfauckland.com.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. Hello, little Lockie. Hello, you. And, you know, this morning, as advertised, I'm going to be bringing some keys on connecting with the Father's love. And it is going to be a journey for us today where we have a look at, and it'll be a little bit more of a teaching than a preach, have a look at how we see Father God and then how we see ourselves. Because the crux of the matter is, in receiving the Father's love and experiencing His love and having a revelation of His love and living in that revelation of His love and the goodness of who He is a matter of renewing our minds. And it is healing past experiences of our father figures and father authority figures where we've been taught or have received the message that fathers are untrustworthy or they are distant or they're angry or they're judgmental or they're dot, 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 fill in the gap. Because that very earthly experience sits in our subconscious. And that earthly experience sits in the subconscious that then drives your behavior. And so exposing those things today is my game, not to cause you pain, but to cause you awareness. Because once we are aware of what is going on in our subconscious and we bring it to the conscious level, we can then deal with it and have our lives and minds renewed in the presence of God. And so that is really where we're going today. And if you have note, paper or whatever, I'd love, or a phone that you'd like to put your note app up on, I encourage you to do that because I know, having done this session or something like this many, many times over the last 25 years, that the Holy Spirit is going to be tapping Shannon on the shoulder and saying, son, you believe this about me. You believe this about me. You believe this about me. And you're like, no, I don't. But my encouragement for you today is that you believe Holy Spirit. Don't believe what your mind tells you, but believe what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And I think that, you know, in having sort of walked this journey personally ourselves, Stu and I are utterly surprised that in our late 50s, we still realize we have areas of our hearts and minds that still believe wrong things about God. So you who are young and sprightly still, you have a journey. Those of us that have grey hair, except I go to the hairdresser and get mine taken care of, we are still being made new. You know, we're to put off our old man and put on our new man. And I feel like I'm still putting on the new man at times. And I want to normalize that and say that that's totally okay. I don't think I see Jesus in perfection in any of us in the room just yet. And so so can I give you permission to go to actually say, and when the Holy Spirit shows you something, to go, that's me, without shame, without blame, without the need to hide it. Because in the awareness of it, we can move forward. So there's three main keys if you're taking notes. Number one, the first key is have a correct understanding of who Father God is. Now, I'm not going to cover too much of that, but I would highly recommend that you listen to Stuart's message that was in the first Sunday of February, where he talked about Jesus revealing the Father and the characteristics of the Father. So we need to have a correct understanding of who the Father God is. Number two, we need to transform the lies and wrong understanding about God that were formed in our past. Okay? Mostly in our under 20 years, in the first 20 years, things will be formed in us about who fathers are. And number three, we are to sit in, receive, and immerse ourselves in being the beloved. Beloved son, beloved daughter. So that's where we're going today. So let's unpack it. There's two pursuits going on in our relationship with God. The pursuit of Him towards us. So he is pursuing you with his love all the time. Our challenge is that we're not connecting with the fact that he's pursuing us with his love. But scripture clearly says, not just in salvation, but in ongoing life, he leaves the 99, the concept, the metaphor of, he leaves the 99 to go after the one. So think of yourself always as the one. Not that it's all about you, but in your relationship with the Father, it is. That his pursuit of you. So there's a pursuit going on of the Father wanting to lavish his love upon you on a daily basis. And then the other side of that relationship is that we seek him. So we need to be on a pursuit of seeking God and his fullness for us and seeking him for who he is. You know, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So there needs to be this conscious seeking and yearning after God. And so because he's always pursuing us, then our response is that we pursue him back. And then, boom, there's these explosions of connection. So our understanding of God is the basis of everything in the kingdom. And I think that as we're exploring the vastness of the kingdom of God, central to that is that God is good. Now, if you look at our foundations of this church, we have this, Stuart does this amazing sort of diagram, and at the bottom of it says, God is good. Everything that we do, everything that we pursue, and everything that we put into action is on the basis of God is good. But if we believe that God is a mean taskmaster, if Father God is sitting over there on the throne, really distant, and he's in his glory, but he's totally unapproachable, or he sits there in judgment of us all the time. If this is our perception of him, then why would we ever want to pursue that? Yeah. So we need to be renewing our understanding of who Father God is into the correct image of who he is. We have the correct lens on of he is good. Is he holy? Yes. Does he call us to higher righteousness? Absolutely. Does he? But does he get a stick and punish us because we're not perfect? No. But some of us still believe that if we're not perfect, if we make a mistake, we will be punished. Or we'll put out into some sort of spiritual outer rim for a season until you've done your penance in the naughty room of heaven. And then when you've done your penance, you come back into the bosom of the Father. Some of you believe that. I am going through the jugular today, so I make no apology of stirring you with truth. And Paul writes in his letter, this is what I absolutely love, and this is what we need to be praying for ourselves. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, he says this, Ephesians 1:17. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. I always pray, that's Paul, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you the spirit, or a spirit, depending on what translation you read, a spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight, deep, personal, intimate insight into the true knowledge of him, for we know the Father through the Son. So we know that Jesus reveals the Father. We come through the gate of salvation, the gate of Christ, and then Christ reveals the Father to us. Many of us stop at the gate. We go through the gate into our salvation experience and then we just sit there. No, there is a road through into a greater understanding, a place of personal, deep, intimate insight of the knowledge of God. Wow. And I believe that journey just goes on and on and on. And when we get to glory in heaven, I think our understanding of him will continue to go on and on and on. So Jesus reflects the nature of the Father. We know this. and in John 14, and please listen to Stuart's message because I don't have time to unpack it now. So in our knowing of the intimate knowledge of the nature of the Father's love, I just want to run through real quick some of the things that I have learned over the years. Number one, the Father's love is consistent. The Father's love for you, so he is consistent. Who is God the Father? He is consistent in his love. He is inconsistent. He's consistent in his pouring out of his love into your hearts. His love does not change whether you're having a good day or a bad day. It does not change towards you whether you are performing well or not performing well, or in your eyes a complete failure. That is absolutely irrelevant. God Almighty, the Father of the universe, loves you, full stop. That's it. And his love is always being poured out into your hearts, which is fantastic because when we are in our darkest hour, who's right there? The Father. And he is the one who puts his arms around us. His love for you is not reliant on anything that you do. It is reliant on his covenant with you. His love is the same when you sleep than it is when you've just healed someone's back of pain. Jesus heard the Father's affirmation as he came out of the baptism waters and the Spirit of God parted the clouds, and the Father's voice audibly for the whole area to hear says, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." This is something that in his humanity he needed to know before he did any miracles. So whether or not you do miracles, your miracles do not gain favor with God. Your faith in him gains you favor. Wow. Knowing the Father's love is having the Father's love over our lives promises that he wants and is pouring out his best over us and through us, regardless of what circumstances we face. So the Kiwi thing of "she'll be right, mate" is actually great in the kingdom because it actually will be okay. We may face circumstances, but that's got nothing to do with how much we're loved. The Father's love is reliable. He will never abandon you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave or forsake you. The Father's love is reliable because he will never criticize or berate you. James 5:11, he is full of compassion and mercy. The Father's love is reliable because he is never going to abuse you in any way, shape, or form, spiritually, physically, or emotionally. Jeremiah 9:24, I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and mercy on the earth. He is reliable because he will never withhold affection from you. As much as we might believe it, why is he blessing that person and not me? That's our understanding and perception. It's not reality. So the lens is sometimes we think he's blessing everybody else, but he's not blessing us. Or he's touching somebody else, but he's not interested in us. I'll get to that in a minute. He will never abandon you financially. God is a provider of all that you need. He may not provide all that you want. Could I have the top of that? I just want to put it out there because, I mean, I think that we get to an intimate relationship where we're able to ask for what we want. But I think that when we look at Scripture, it says God will provide all that you need. And more than, thank you. He's never going to ignore you. Luke 12:7. He knows every hair on your head and they're numbered. That's quite funny.
Increase.
Here's one. He's not going to flip-flop in your relationship with him. He's stable in his manner. His love is stable. 1 Samuel 15:29, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Our experiences sometimes of fathers is that they flip-flop in their promises. I'll promise to do this, but you don't. And, yeah. The truth is, his gaze is upon you all the time. And he is watching out for your best all the time. And he is there to put his spirit of comfort around you all the time. And we aren't to be surprised when we hit trouble, but we are to dive into our sonship and daughtership at that time. Because in our sonship and daughtership is everything we need. It's his strength, it's his love, it's his reassurance. It's the revelation that his love knows the beginning from the end for your life. And if we trust him, then we can actually rest in the challenge of our circumstances, knowing that he's got a plan, even if we can't see it. I love that. Okay, key number two, transform your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and transform what? Transform our understanding and our mind blocks or mindsets around what is a lie or a belief that isn't true, which is a lie. We need to be transformed so we can actually perceive him as he truly is. So those strongholds of the mind actually distort and fragment the truth. Romans 2:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, which you can unpack. And the patterns of this world are the way... Well, the patterns of our current culture. Why don't you just put it like that? And have a look at the way that the family unit's been, you know, and all the sitcoms are degrading masculinity. They're degrading fatherhood. All the sitcoms are, like, all that stuff. That's just programming that's happening. And if we start to believe that men are weak, then what do we think Father God's going to be like? It's probably a whole thing to unpack at another point, but we can't just subconsciously take in what we're being fed through media and through, you know, programming and stuff like that, programs on YouTube or whatever. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our transformation is really about what our mind is. What is our mind? It's our will, it's our emotions, it's our thinking. It's not just your logical brain. It is not. A mind is actually your whole internal world, the way you perceive, the way you think, the way that you feel, the way that you process information. So be transformed by the renewing of all of that so you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And I think we all want to know that. So Ephesians 4:2-24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put off and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the beliefs that we currently hold are all based on past experience. Can we agree? So you're either going to be taught it through osmosis, through family cultures, or you're going to be taught it through pain. Or you're going to be taught it through constant programming of a certain mindset or stronghold. Like, you know, women are controlling, men are abusive, authoritarian. You know, there's lots of cultural stuff that we need to be renewed and transformed from. There's lots of personal experiences that we've actually encountered that we've come to very strong opinions about. And I love this. It's like, put off your No, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. For me, it's the attitude towards Father God. It's my attitude, and it at times has been very smelly. And I've been quite rebellious towards what I perceive to be what a father is like. And at one point, I even slammed the door of my heart at the age of 13 on my father and said, if that's what a father is, I don't need one. So very violent attitude towards my natural father because of the things that were going on in the home at the time and the things that were going on with me. And I'll get to more about that in just a sec. So I'm just to make it really easy for you, and then we're going to go into ministry, I'm going to break down some five categories, and you might have actually read material on this before, but sometimes we can read it and go, yeah, it makes sense, but it's never applied to you personally. But in the spirit of this message, which is how do we connect with this love that's been poured out from the Father? How do we actually absorb it, feel it, experience it, let it transform us and bring this amazing sense of oneness and connection with Him that's ongoing as opposed to, you know, once a month or once a week or whatever? How do we actually experience that? So I'm going to describe to you five different personality types of fathers, and I'm going to invite you into some place of awareness. Now, if you're sitting in the room with your father right now, I'd like you to give yourself permission to, between you and God, just have a moment, because your father is actually having a moment with God Himself. So we're just going to have a moment where it's just about the Holy Spirit in you, just having a moment of awareness. So that's to start with the best news. How about the good father? The good father is the one that supports you, cheers you on, is there for you emotionally, is there for you in communication, is there for you physically to bring comfort to you. He initiates relationship. He provides security and strength in the home. And if you'd like to go into more of that, you can listen to my message on the perfect father. So the perfect father, the good father in the natural, is the one that is really right there with you. And you can say, man, I had a really good upbringing and I really felt loved and supported by my dad. That said, your heavenly father is even more perfect. And so when we've been ministering to people that have had a good father, they're like, oh, I don't really need the Father's love revelation because my dad was really good and I don't really need Father God because I've got a really good father. So the even with a good father, you can have an attitude that keeps Heavenly Father at a distance, okay? The second one is the performance-orientated father. This father type has high standards and demands a certain conduct of behaviour in order to have his acceptance. You have to reach a certain standard, do it all right, or be striving for perfection. He doesn't give praise or affirmation when you succeed, but he is a negative motivator. He's going to point out what you didn't do or what you could do better, your failures, your strengths, in order to try and motivate you to perform better. So the dynamics showing up in your life is that you could feel with Father God that he's only ever pleased with you when you're doing things right. When you've got all your ducks in a row spiritually with your disciplines, you believe that intimacy with God is based on your performance. So if you feel in your perception that you've done really well this week, then you go running to God and you have an encounter. But if things haven't gone quite so well, you run the other way. That's what the dynamic within us happens in a performance relationship. You may battle with fear of failure and fear of what people will think of you. And the main lie is this: I have to perform for love. I have to perform for acceptance. And the flip side of that is I'm not worthy of his love because I haven't done enough. And then there's the passive father, which if you had to put my dad in a category, it was the passive father. He's not actively involved in your life. He's present in the home, but he's absolutely distant emotionally, distant from a communication perspective, and self-absorbed. And so this could be because he's a workaholic, or he's got his own issues, or he suffered from depression or some kind of sickness that caused a withdrawal. That sometimes a passive father can be described as stoic and unable to emotionally connect with you. Very controlled personality, doesn't celebrate the highs because, you know, whatever, but there's no celebration of you. He's very passive in his relationship with you. And the dynamic showing us could be that God is basically uninterested in your life. And you have a really good relationship with Jesus and a really good relationship with the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to the Father, you're like, oh, he's not really interested, so you don't even bother trying. Your pursuit and seeking God is limited because underneath, the main lie is I'm not important. And then there's the absentee father, which is absent because of divorce, death, physical abandonment, never provided a safe place for you. You never felt protected by him. He wasn't a protector. He wasn't a safe place. And you have this constant sense of loneliness even to this day. And dynamics showing up could be you're very independent and self-made. Very capable. You actually don't need God because you're able to cope on your own. You've learnt the depth of resilience where you survive without love. You may feel neglected by God. The thought of intimacy with God is actually uncomfortable, so sessions like this make you super uncomfortable because we're talking about intimacy with the love of the Father, and you're like, I don't need it. I'm fine without it. And then you get to the authoritarian father. He is a legalist. Rules, 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 rules. No room for love, gentleness, patience, or grace. Rules and punishment are the parenting style. So this is in your relationship with God. It could be showing up that if you're not doing enough prayer or enough worship, do you notice the word enough? Enough XYZ, whatever it is. You know, reading your Bible, or enough evangelism, or enough whatever you feel you're supposed to be doing. If you don't have that, if you're not doing that, then essentially you're going to get punished. And so the fear of punishment is the driver of your whole relationship with God. This is a major block to the intimacy with God. It's the opposite. And you probably, if you're in your imagination seeing the throne and seeing the Father, you see him as distant, as a judge, and you have an unhealthy fear of God. We're supposed to have the fear and awe of God out of relationship, not an unhealthy fear of God that avoids intimacy. Yeah? And we have a constant fear of failure, and the main lie is if I am a mistake, I will be rejected. So rejection, punishment is connected to failure. And then the last one is the abusive father, any emotional, physical, spiritual abuse, which is overt abuse. That actually puts emotional pain in your heart that, if not healed, will actually be the base of a baseline mistrust of all male authority, including God. And so abused people, unfortunately, have to get that transformed and that parent wound, authority wound healed in them in order to have a trusting relationship that with Father God. And the lie is, I have no worth or value. God can't be trusted. God is mean and cruel. And avoidance of intimacy is how you survive. So, I just want to invite you to close your eyes for a minute. With every eye closed, raise your hand if you somehow identified with any of those categories. Every eye closed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, open your eyes. Thank you for your honesty. And the thing is that the Father saw that too. And that was the main reason why I did it, because there's an awareness there that you're like, yeah, part of the problem is me. Sorry about that. Okay. So the third key is knowing that you are the beloved, which is deeply and truly loved, the beloved. And we know that we are the beloved because we are in the Son, and we've been raised with the Son, and Jesus was called the beloved by the Father. And so we know that we are the beloved, and this is one of my personal revelations that I had about being the beloved. And I had an encounter with the love of God. I was in a ministry session. Some of you might have heard me already talk about this, especially if you've been on a Freedom Weekend, but I talk more about my experience on a Freedom Weekend. But anyways, that's irrelevant. And I was dealing with the spirit of rejection, and I went into a vision, and I saw myself like I'm looking at Andrea, and like in this third person, I think that is. And I saw the word rejected across my head and my forehead, and I was just relaying this to the counselor. And then Jesus walked in the room, and he ripped it off, violently ripped the label of rejection off, and started to write a word on my forehead. And I let to lean in to the vision to see, and it was the word beloved. And at that point, the Father said, "You are my beloved." And this incredible encounter with the love of God filled me, overwhelmed me, shifted something. It flicked a switch in me, and it healed some deep pain of rejection that I had had from, you know, years of having a passive father that, you know, I would be talking to and he wouldn't hear me, or there was no emotional connection whatsoever because of his own issues. There was no, very, very little affection because of his own issues. And every time I had some sort of, you know, reaching out moment, it would be constant rejection. There'd be the newspaper, there'd be the walking out of the room, there'd be the turning on of the TV. And I couldn't talk to him about my life, couldn't, especially if I was upset and crying about something. He would demand that I leave the room and go and see my mother. So there was this passivity in relationship and communication that I constantly lived with. And so nothing ever bad happened to me. I wasn't abused. I wasn't hit. None of that trauma happened. It was day after day after day of just layers upon layers upon layers of not feeling important. And at 13, something happened, and that was it. In a fit of rage, I left the house and went for a walk one day and just said, "That's it. I don't need a dad. I'll do it on my own." And that then, even though I was a believer at that time, it set me on a trajectory of looking for love. Looking for love and all the faces, and relationships, and boys, because you need love. You have a container inside you that's shaped by Father God that only He can fill. And at that age, shut that off, and I didn't even bother having a relationship with Him. And at 33. God did a major, major healing in my life, and it just turned the whole relationship around. But for all those years, I lived like an orphan. I didn't think that God cared, didn't think my Father cared, and I had to live on my own and do it myself. Which is where I get, I think, the blessing is I get a lot of strength. But you can be strong and just keep God out here. And I can do ministry and keep God out here. I can look successful and prophesy and keep God out here. Father God. And it takes that taking the wall down and going, actually, Father, I need you more than I can ever imagine or believe that I need you. I know I need you because there's a hole in my heart that only you can fill. And then I came into this revelation of I'm the beloved. And you are the beloved. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. And his gaze is towards you. And he is the perfect father. In 1 John 3, you know, John is now in the very late stages of his life when he writes 1 John, all these the letters, 2 John, 3 John. He is late in his life. He has lived all his life with this a revelation of love. And you, when you read 1 John, you realize how far and deep he's gone into the love of God. And he says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished, what a word, lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. Isn't that amazing? So in the key to the key here is to have a image of God that he is good and he is loving and he wants to pursue us. That we heal their stuff, but then we sit in our belovedness. That we sit with an expectation in our hearts that he is right there, that the door is always open to the Father. The door of access, that you have 100% access to the throne, that you have 100% access to a love that is consistent and reliable. And it just takes you choosing to connect with it, with him, and then receiving him. Let's stand. We're going to go into some ministry, and I'm going to be reading. We're going to take 10 minutes to do this, so we are going to go 5 minutes over. I'm just going to tell everybody right up front. Because my heart's desire for you today is that you connect in some way with his love. And I'm just going to ask you to trust me as I read through these things. So we're going to read through a prayer that says, you know, I come to you, Father, and I realize that I may have some mindsets that need to be renewed, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm actually going to take you through the five categories of five personalities. And I'm just going to invite you to repent and break agreement of believing the main lie that's associated with each of those. And then we're just going to ask for the love of God to come and touch you. The thing is, these lies will block and can block and will block your ability to connect. His love is always pouring out. The challenge is we're not connecting with it. So when we release our lies and our ask God to transform us, that clears out the closet, so to speak, of our heart and removes any hindrance to us actually receiving it, receiving his love. So just repeat after me, Father God, I just come to you now. And I thank you that the door to your house is always open. And that I do not have to fear your loving presence. Father, I want to let you know today that I want to and desire to experience your love for me. I open my heart right now to receive your perfect love. I also realize that my earthly dad did the best he could, but at times that wasn't enough. I ask that as I pray through these lies, that the stronghold of unbelief would be torn down. I ask that through these prayers, you would reveal the truth of who you are to me. I forgive my earthly dad for not being all that I needed him to be. I release him now and every judgment that I've made. Heavenly Father, I now invite you to come and be my Father. And I receive the truth into my heart today that I am your beloved, in whom you are well pleased. So today I choose to repent and break agreement with if you had an abusive father. I want you to follow after me. I repent of the lie that I have no worth or value. I repent of the lie that God can't be trusted. God is mean and cruel. For the performance personality, here we go. I repent and renounce the lie. I have to perform for love and acceptance. I repent and renounce the lie that I can never do enough to receive His love. For the good Father, I repent and break agreement with the lie that I don't need Father God, that I have enough love in my life already. Passive Father, I repent and break agreement of the lie that I'm not important, that I'm not seen. For the absent Father, I repent and break agreement with the lie that I'm alone and I have to look after myself. And lastly, the authoritarian personality, I break agreement and repent of the lie. If I make a mistake, I will be punished and I will be rejected. Everybody together, I take these lies to the cross and I lay them down. Woo! I feel that. It's very powerful. Father God, remove from me all the effects of living out of these lies. Just take a deep breath in and out. Yeah. And I ask you, Lord, come and heal my heart. I invite the river of love and healing, the river of life, to come and hit me, flow through me, heal me, woo, restore me, renew my mind, renew my heart, renew my spirit within me with a new expectation, the truth that Father, you are good. And I am deeply loved all the time. All the time. And right now, I invite you to come and fill me with your perfect love. Okay, take a minute and receive. Don't worry about anybody else in the room. Just receive. Holy Spirit, bring the love of the Father. Touch them. feel like peace, I'll just tell you what it feels like. It feels like peace coming over you. It can feel like a warm blanket. It can feel like a weight just hits you. And you just want to, it's like he's putting his arms around you. You can feel a physical weight. You can feel warmth. You can feel a light go on the inside. That's what these are the different ways that his love comes. His love comes with this by his spirit. So it's a spiritual exchange. Father, would you come and pour your love into our hearts today, bringing an assurance that we are the sons and daughters of God and that you are close. You're right here all the time. So I bless the connection that we have now with him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you just still receiving. I'm just going to ask Stevie to keep playing some music. If your time is gone, but if you are in the presence of the Lord and you want to take another moment and just sit in that and allow him to love on you. This is where he gets to love on you. This is not where you pray. This is where you drink and you receive him. Allow him this time, the moment, to love on you in a tangible way. In Jesus' name. Amen. And ministry team is definitely going to be here, because if you've got other lies that the Holy Spirit tapped you on the shoulder like I did at the beginning and with Shannon, and I was like, if you, the Holy Spirit has tapped upon your shoulder and there's more things you need to just pray out, the ministry team is here for you today. So I'm just going to open up the altar.
Guys, just want to bless you to respond to that word. You know, Jesus said, you're not blessed by hearing the word, you're blessed if you do something about it. And there's an opportunity here to press in deeper and more meaningfully into the love of God and to see those areas of our hearts and minds healed in the ways and in the places that only he can. So look, as Lindley said, our ministry team will be here. We'd love to pray for you, with you, to support you. Somebody, if you're not feeling up for it, then just want to tell you the lounge is open. Feel free to grab a tea and a coffee. Find a friend. Find some of the family. Just chat, catch up, love one another, and have a great day and a great week. But guys, we love you and bless you for all that God has for you. And say baptisms are happening later on today, so do please come and support our family in whānau 2 p.m. if you're free. It's going to be a great afternoon. But bless you, team. We'll be here. Love you. Amen.